Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast. Welcome to Local Food Connections this morning, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. We're brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land on which we live. The show goes beyond food quite often, promoting sustainable systems in general, not just food systems, that foster community resilience and empower individuals to make positive choices for themselves, their communities and the environment. Today, it is my pleasure to be joined by Aditya Gupta. Could have pronounced that wrong, but luckily he's happy to go as Adi. Adi is legally blind. He's a motivational speaker and he's passionate about sustainability. And he's here today with Kirsty Bishop Fox, who is the co-founder and major organiser of the Zero Waste Festival, which is taking place on the 12th of September at Federation Square, which is a Saturday, and it's going all day. And Adi is going to be a speaker there. So welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us back.
Thank you.
Kirsty, tell us how it's all going with organising this huge event.
It is incredible. I mean, every year I feel like I say this, but the lineup that we've got this year and the activities are next level with some really exciting things happening, Anne.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what the next level is.
The next level. Well, you know, we've got Costa Georgiadis joining us this year. He's been a long friend of the festival and supporter, but it's the first year in person. Uh-huh. In 2021, it was online, so this year it's in person, quite exciting. And he'll be having his Melbourne book launch with the Costa's Garden Fruit book, which is super exciting.
Cool. Yeah. And he's going to be talking about fruit, isn't he?
Well, the book, it's a children's book.
Oh, okay.
And we're encouraging everyone to come in their fruitiest outfits. Uh-huh. Doesn't matter, kids, adults, it's a book launch, it's Costa. If you love Costa, don't miss it.
And it's all online if you just go to Zero Waste Festival, but what time's he going to be on at, do you know?
He'll be on at 12 p.m.
So, but if you go to zerowaste.org.
Zero Waste Victoria. If you Google Zero Waste Festival,
it'll come up. And especially 2026, you don't want the program for 2025.
Find it, yeah.
And Adi, what will you be doing on the day?
So I'll be doing a panel discussion. And Costa will be leading that panel discussion, which I'm super excited about. And I'll be bringing a bit of a unique perspective to sustainability and talking about some of the challenges we face as, you know, blind people or mm-hmm. someone living with a disability to live more sustainably in our day-to-day lives.
Can you give us a little taste of what that unique perspective is? What sort of are the challenges?
Yeah, so some of the things I'll be talking about in the panel will be, you know, things like looking at wrappers. Like, for most people, they look at the label and they just throw it in the right bin. But, as someone who's legally blind, I can't really see what the label says or what the symbols necessarily mean. So there's a bit of an extra step for me in order to make sure it finds the right place in the right bin. And sometimes finding the right bin is also hard because they can be color-coded, or they might have different labels on them. So, yeah, that whole perspective, I'll be bringing that to the panel and just talking about some of my experiences with sustainability and how I still try to live sustainably despite having this vision impairment.
Great. I'll come back to that. So is this something that you think could be solved just by some Braille symbols on the top of the bins, or is it more, is going to have to be more than that?
I mean, I think there's different ways of looking at it. Braille is good as a start, but I don't actually read Braille, so it's not
helpful.
And, you know, sometimes just finding a bin can also be challenging, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to come up with your own ways on how you try to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, they can put Braille, and that would be helpful for some people.
Mm-hmm.
But for others, that might not necessarily help.
Mm-hmm.
But having that motivation to live sustainably is the most important factor in my experience.
Uh-huh. So we all have to be creative with that, don't we?
Yes.
In all different ways.
I'm thinking with Braille, I mean, they may not want to touch the bin.
Actually, that's a really good point.
That's
true. It's the last place you want Braille.
I mean, some bins it would be okay, but some bins you just... You don't want to touch.
And you're not going
to
know that in advance if you can't see it on the way up to it. Yep.
Yes, that's a very good point.
That's a very good point. So, Kirsty, can you talk to me, because I haven't asked you this before, how did you get the idea for the festival? How long has it been running, and what did it take to get it up that first year at such a prominent place, Federation Square?
Well, look, it's the ninth year that the festival's running, and the first year it was in Brunswick Town Hall. So it's the fifth at Fed Square. And it really started a little bit almost unintentionally. And I say that because the Zero Waste Festival actually came from the Zero Waste Victoria Facebook group, which came first. And the idea was, let's get people in the group meeting each other in person and having these conversations. And it was, let's have meet a speed data zero waster, I think, was the original plan. We're going to have someone talk about repair, using food properly so we don't waste, cloth nappies, riding bikes, all those things. And it's like, well, let's have a clothes swap and we'll have a speaker. And I said, it's like a mini festival. And so we called it a festival. And that's effectively how it was born.
Very organic.
We hoped maybe 200 people would come. Like, that was what we were really hoping for. We had over 500 people come to that event.
That's the Brunswick one?
Yeah.
And is that because of Facebook?
Yes, through social media. That was our platform. We didn't have a mail list then, or if we did, it was very small. I can't remember. But we promoted it, and that just showed us that... To us, we call it a Zero Waste Festival. Could we name it something different? Maybe. It's hard to come with that name, but it's about the connection and meeting like-minded people. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of people listening out there going, I really try to do the right thing, but my partner, my flatmate, my workmates, and you're not alone, come meet us, we're your people. But that's how it began.
Yeah, that's interesting. Did you have something to add to that, Adi?
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Like, having 500 people at the very first one is just... phenomenal. I'm curious to know now, like, how many are coming to this one?
We'd like to see 5,000 plus.
Oh, wow.
Is that what you had last time?
That's throughout the day. No, we probably had about 4,500 last time, but that's throughout the day, not in one go. If there are 5,000 people in one go, Fed Square will be quite full in the speaking areas. But the festival run, it starts at 12 p.m. and is running to 7:30 p.m.
Hmm.
So we know some people will be there all day, but we also know others will, you know, come at 12 and some will come at 6.
Because they've seen the program and and others will just pass through. It's the most brilliant location, because there's going to be people just passing through there on the way through to something else, and
mm-hmm.
it's excellent. So how did you get that location?
Fed Square reached out to us. So they, in 2019, were in St Kilda Town Hall, and it turned out that our contact at Fed Square went there. I'm not sure if she was working there or not, but anyway, she went to that event, and she said they've got to get us. So she waited until 22. We don't need to wonder why. And she reached out to us, and that was a real bonus for us, because we were looking for a venue. At that stage, we were looking at doing it different locations. We'll do it in a different, you know, different council area, you know, each time. But Fed Square are really supportive. It fits into their Reset program, which is all about sustainability. So they actually give us the use of the venue. We couldn't put the venue on for free if they didn't. So big kudos.
Not paying for that space at all?
There are some costs that we have, but we definitely, they support us. So it has to be in September, because that aligns with their programming.
Yeah.
And sort of we have a partnership with them in that sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely wonderful. Now, you, Adi, have done a TEDx talk, which I just think is really cool. What was the subject of the talk? And what's the title of it, so people can go and look at it?
Yes. So the title is How Vulnerability Can Help You Find Your Direction.
Vulnerability?
Yes. And the content is really me learning to embrace my identity as a blind person,
mm-hmm.
because for the longest time, I struggled to do that. I didn't want to accept my cane. I didn't want to use it. But, you know, last year I had this transformational experience where I went to a camp in California for blind people, and I was a camp counselor there. And there I met this 6-year-old blind girl who was just really inspiring. Like, my job was to guide her to her cabin, but she just took out her cane and started walking to find her path on her own. And that really inspired me, because I was like, you know, if this girl can use her cane so authentically and take on her unknowns, why can't I do the same in my life? And from there, I started using my cane. I went to New York by myself, which is something I never thought I could do. And yeah, I just learned to embrace my identity as a blind person. And now I just, through that talk, I want to help share that message that your vulnerability, your self-acceptance of yourself is really your compass in your life. And once you can learn to embrace it, you can start to find your direction.
Wow. So the vulnerability is, you could see it as a gift. That's where you go to find out where your direction is.
Yes. Brilliant. You have to embrace that identity, embrace the not so nice parts of yourself.
Yep.
And only then you can start to go to the next level and start figuring out what you want in life.
Lovely. That's because it's the not so nice parts of yourself that hold you back, isn't it?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Very inspiring. So this is, I'm really loving that idea that you're saying the Zero Waste Festival is about meeting each other, which is what the show's about and which so much of trying to build this movement is about. So I went there last year, and the thing that really struck me was I was just standing talking to a stall holder, and I had my hand on some fabric, and I said, "So what is this?" And he said, "It's a shroud." And I actually recoiled a bit. A shroud? Oh my God. Yeah. Never touched a shroud. And he turned out to be a undertaker, I suppose you would call it, who specializes in sustainable burials. Is there any, what other, have you had experiences like that with Kirsty, where there's a sort of a startling guest or something that was, that changed your thinking?
Well, we did have, I don't know if it changed my thinking, but it excited my thinking. We had a couple of years ago someone talking about human composting. Like, mm-hmm. so instead of a burial, it was the composting.
Oh, so you leave your body as compost.
Yeah, that's right. And in Australia, I don't know if it's changed, but there's legislation that they had to work around to do that. So
I can imagine.
Something that was straightforward. But, you know, we have some incredible speakers in our lineup this year. In terms of our Rethinking Plastic one, which is on at 12:45, we're actually going to have Agnes, a researcher who's actually got this biodegradable packaging she's working on that will also extend the shelf life of food. So that's really exciting. Yeah. And then we've got Kip Hamilton from Australian Marine Conservation Society, and she'll be talking about some, well, I don't know if they're necessarily exciting things, but they're interesting for me to nerd out over. The Unpacket Awards, they call it, the best and the worst of packaging.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a lot of talk around packaging reform. And then we've got Scott, I think it's Wilson. He's a researcher into microplastics. So really interesting things. If anyone is interested to find out where we're at with plastic, what is stalling us, that's definitely a topic that you don't want to miss.
And so it sounds like you've got several different people all coming at that from different
That's
angles
right.
with different expertise.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. What else?
So this is a really big topical one at the moment, the rise of data centers, mm-hmm. and the hidden footprint of AI. Now, there's a lot of things going on in that space about that, and it's really important, but we're taking a slightly different approach with this one. What isn't being considered or spoken about is the waste and obsolescence that's going to come from these data centres.
So you're not talking about the problem with the water and the energy, you're now talking about the actual physical plant, the actual metals and everything, what's going to happen to them.
Correct, that's right. So it's a part of it. So it's something that it's a very high turnover with this equipment. 2 to 5 years, and I would say 5 years is quite conservative from what I'm gathering and what I've heard from the researchers. And to create this, and it's not just data centers, it's e-waste quite broadly, but data centers is a compact version of them. And there's some really, you know, rare minerals that go into these. And a lot of thought needs to be put about that as well too. And then the thing with AI is that there's a lot of noise saying we need to stop and not have AI. Now, I'm not going to say be a for or against, but the reality is AI has got some really effective effective things. It helps us in medicine. We have data centers for banking, all sorts of things that are quite positive. But there are some very negative uses as well too. And we need to actually embrace it's here. It hasn't just come. It might feel like it has. To me, it feels like it has. But what is ethical use of AI? So this panel discussion actually has a couple of researchers and an advocate for the land use. So it will take some really different perspectives, and there'll be opportunities to ask questions as well too.
That is cutting edge discussion. I mean, the mainstream media is just starting now to have it talking a lot about the water problem with it, and energy and the not in my backyard part of it and all that, but it is part of that broader problem of all this junk that we have to then get rid of and all the mining to get this stuff. Any thoughts on that, Adi?
Yeah, it's very interesting because I think most people are using AI in their day-to-day lives or their work or their businesses, but if you ask anyone, no one wants a data center near their house, right?
Yep.
So where are they going to go? What are we going to do with them? Because everybody wants to use AI, but nobody wants the infrastructure and the negative aspects that come with it. So I think that will be a really interesting discussion, which I'm super excited to hear. And, you know, just see how the society goes ahead with this technology.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tune in to Billabong Beats Tuesdays at 11 a.m. with me, Gavin Moore, giving a voice to both Western Kulin and Kulin First Nations peoples. Join me to talk about philosophy and dreamtime stories surrounding the waterhole, the sacred fire, the land, the plants and animals. Billabong Beats, 11 a.m. Tuesdays on 3CR.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
This is a Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. And you can also go to 3CR Local Food Connections and hear all of our podcasts, including the podcast of today's show, probably by the end of next week. Today, it is my pleasure to be chatting with Kirsty Bishop-Fox and Adi Gupta, who are going to be at the Zero Waste Festival, 12th of September, coming up shortly. Kirsty as the organiser and Adi as a speaker on a panel, along with Costa, the urban nana, who specialises in rental permaculture, the repair cafe people and the decluttering people. Mm-hmm. So Kirsty's just been describing before the breadth of this lineup and the topicality. You know, it's right on point with the discussion of microplastics, plastics in general, and all the ethical issues around AI, which are unfolding sort of in an uncontrolled way all around us. So much of what we talk about on this show is about taking action
taking what action you can in a world that looks like it's just completely beyond our control. My opinion about AI so far is don't fight it. It's here. It's like fighting the printing press or the steam engine or something, and it's going to have enormous positive and negative consequences, and it's just all we can do is try and steer it a bit. But can you give me your perspectives on that? I just want to air some perspectives on this, and then we'll get back to the festival. Adi, what do you think about it?
Look, I would be very similar to you. I think I heard this saying somewhere, but like, you can either change with the change or get left behind. So I think AI is here to stay, and I think the best way for us is to direct where it goes rather than trying to completely eradicate it, because I don't think that's happening. There's too many benefits to it. If you think about profits, you know, the big companies want their profits.
Mm.
So I don't think it's going anywhere. I think the best we can do is try to have good legislation about it so that it doesn't harm people as much.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably my take on it.
Yeah, to me, it's a political problem.
Yeah.
That needs a political solution.
Yes.
Kirsty, have you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I think we need to look at why there is such a rise of the AI. Because if you think that these AI companies are putting these platforms out there so we can make dancing cats on Instagram, right?
Yes.
That's incidental. Right? It's incidental. These corporations are using AI for all sorts of reasons, and I would suggest I don't know most of them.
Mm. I would suggest the main one's military and the second one's to make more money out of us.
Look, yes. I think the military is one thing, and the military is a very different kettle of fish. But these days, if you walk into a supermarket, and I'm so grateful that I don't walk into those supermarkets, your face is going to be scanned.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do with that data, and how accurate is the use of that data? How long do they store that data for, and are they scanning your children's faces?
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
Right? So, I'm talking about supermarkets because it's something most people can relate to. And, you know, I've had conversations with people where it's kind of like I heard the CEO speak and she was saying something about it'll be able to do your whole shopping list. You won't even need to think. It'll just put everything in your trolley. Now, some people might get very excited about that, but you've had me on here talking about ultra-processed foods and different packaging and all those types of things. That is handing control over to an AI agent. And we need to ask, what could that mean? We've all heard stories, I'm sure, if you haven't Googled them, if you're listening in, where these AI agents have actually gone rogue and broken into systems. There was someone who was on his, you know, couch booking into a gym thought he'd see if he can go into the wait list. It kicked people off the wait list.
Oh, that was a great story. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there are some serious
concerns. It solves the problem for us.
Now, what concerns me is not just that story, but that's the one we were told, right? So when you look at the companies who are pushing AI, right, it's not your little corner store. It's not your little business who wants to get a marketing, you know, program done. And by the way, marketing through AI, it's becoming all the same. It's becoming very bland. I just switch off, right? We've got the youth who are not knowing what they can believe, and we've got corporations doing these things, right? So we need to ask, why are they doing it? Why is Jeff Bezos doing it? Why is Elon Musk backing this, right? And if we don't know their why, right, then that's often being overlooked in these conversations. Just talking about water and energy is incredibly important. It really, really is. But we need to get to the source and the root of why. And if that's not effectively counted, and the trouble is there's lack of transparency every which way you look about this, every which way. And that is my concern. It's not what the individuals are doing. That's not irrelevant. But it is small compared to...
Yeah, it's political. What they're doing, why, is partly to make a lot of money, but there could be a lot more sinister stuff too, given what we know about their political beliefs. So it is alarming. I think we've got to jump on and use it as much as we can on the other side.
Yeah.
Is that enough of a rant about that? Or is it...
Well, that's why we've got in. You know, we've got Professor Jeannie Patterson, who she's got a legal background in terms of this, and she speaks from that perspective, which is quite interesting. Then we've got Jathan Sadowski, who's an associate professor In computing at Monash Uni. So we want their perspectives as well too. And we've got Bronwyn Clark, who's the National Growth Areas Alliance. She's looking at where are we putting this? Is it the best land use? How is it serving community? So there's a real lot to unpack. It is a wicked problem, I would say they're calling it that. But it's one of those things that it's here. It didn't just come up in the last 2 years. It's been emerging.
All of the 20th century has been working.
But yeah. there was a big boom, and we've got a question why, and is that supporting us? Like, is it really? It might sound like it is, but is it really?
Yep. Mm. And which of us is it supporting?
Yeah.
Any comments on that, Adi, or are you just saying yes?
Look, no, I completely agree with everything Kirsty's saying, and it is a very big issue, right? And yeah, like, we think that it might be supporting us in our day-to-day task, but I feel like it's also making us dumber. Like, we are not, you know, now sometimes I struggle to write emails or, like, struggle to send a message because I'm like, I don't know if this is the best version, so I need to ask ChatGPT to make sure it's right or I can be the best. It can be. And I was looking at some emails from, like, a couple of years ago. They're completely fine. And
yeah, that's right.
Like, but now I have that added insecurity that, like, oh, I need to make sure it's good. If it's not good, it might get rejected or, like, someone else who might be using AI might write a better email and then, you know, I might get rejected. So it's having all those individual concerns as well. It's very topical issue.
Ends up becoming a psychological problem for people.
Well, to top it up, people are using AI to write job applications.
Yeah,
and
I don't
know. AI is assessing those job applications. It's gone mad. It's gone absolutely mad.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to some nice practical things, Kirsty. You've got a whole bunch of events around repair cafes, mending, clothes swaps, and I think you've even got a fashion.
Yeah, I might have to come back another week to talk to you about that.
Well, just talk about it. Talk about what's happening at the festival with that stuff.
Yes. So the clothes swap, you get to bring, you know, up to six things that are really wearable, and you get to put them in the clothing pool and actually go home, go shopping if you like, and with some new items. We've got two times for that. And the Rewear Runway, we've had creatives, designers, students.
What runway? What are you calling
it? The Rewear Runway. And what it really is, it's actually looking at the creativity and how we can actually upcycle. So it's all reclaimed materials or an outfit that was damaged. Everyone has a different story. The response to this has been incredible. In some ways it's fortunate and unfortunate. I was hoping we might get 20 or 25 apply. We had over 80, close to 90 applicants. So I'm very glad that I wasn't part of that judging team to select those 30 because it wasn't easy. You know, the ones who didn't make it didn't mean that they weren't amazing. It was just the way the selection happened. But come along and watch that. It's going to be incredible. You get to vote for your favourite one, get some inspiration about what you can do if you're creative, or just know, because textile waste is such a big concern in Australia, well, worldwide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had Lily Zhang on last week, and she was great talking about using up whatever food you have and getting creative and not following recipes, just cooking with what you've got. And she's going to be on the stage in the Zero Waste Mystery Box Cook-Off, which sounds to me like she's going to just get handed a bunch of food and in front of possibly 4,000 people, she's going to demonstrate how she can cook with it.
Lily is amazing. I had the privilege of actually going to see FOFA, Feed One, Feed All, on Friday and had a bit of a tour of the place. Basically, there is some food that they buy in to support these. These are people who just need support with meals. And they get all sorts of, they call it rescued food. So the menus vary based on that food. Mm. So she's taking that expertise and showing us how we can do it with what's in the bottom of our fridge at home.
Yeah. We've got to wind up, so sadly. We could talk for much longer. It's been great to meet you, Adi.
Likewise.
And I love your idea about the power within your vulnerability. It's a really great idea just to take with you through the day. And as always, it's a pleasure to hear from you, Kirsty, with your very clear mind and passionate advocacy of this stuff. But that is all we've got time for. So you've been listening to Local Food Connections on 3CR. My name's Anne Stanley, and my guests have been Kirsty Bishop-Fox and Adi Gupta. Thank you both for coming in. The Zero Waste Festival for 2026 is taking place on Saturday, the 12th of September at Federation Square. And it sounds to me like it would be a really great just whole day out for the whole family, picking and choosing which things you want to go to. But until next week, love the land you're on. Share your surplus and take care of each other. Remember, if you want to support independent media, you can become a 3CR subscriber. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.